Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. I can only imagine what it will be like when I'm standing by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is looking at me. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I say hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Only imagine. I can only imagine all creation bowed down and the whole universe speaking your name out loud. I can only imagine all our broken lives resurrected in your healing light. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I say hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I say hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Imagine. All right, let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. While we were having lunch last week, people in Texas, in their little First Baptist church there in Sutherland Springs, Texas, were dying. I think of Tracy's cousin, 44 years old, who passed away after a life of illness and suffering. I think of the folks that Marilyn's talking about, thinking of your loss, you know. I mean, we could just go on and on and on with these stories, right? There is this enormous elephant in the room, and the elephant is that, I mean, we don't want to talk about it, we don't want to highlight it, right? But what happened last week is an unspeakable atrocity. I just want to say some things about it. I want you to take what every Christian should take in view of all these troubles in this world, and that is a long view, not just this snapshot of time, but the long view. This has been happening to believers in Jesus for 2,000 years. Do you remember the words of Jesus that he spoke in John chapter 16? The time is coming
when anyone who kills you will think they're offering service to God. And then he went on to say, listen, I wanted to tell you about this beforehand. These things are going to happen. Our brothers and sisters die every day. Patrick Donnelly was telling us a story yesterday about a friend of his who's a young Muslim who became a Christian in the Middle East. Just recently, Patrick knows him through emails. And this young man was telling Patrick of the other Christians, others who became Christians. When he remembers being a little boy, they went over and found these people who become Christians and murdered them in their own home. It's happening all over, all the time. And it has happened for all these years. Not just, of course, in the biblical stories. If you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, the stories of brothers and sisters who have gone to their death early. You look at Paul's experience. He wrote the Corinthians about how he was always in trouble, always stressed, always weak because of what was going on all around him. How are we to see all this? Jesus gave us a framework to see this broken world. There's a framework that doesn't work, and that is to try to act like it doesn't exist. To somehow say, oh, those things will never touch us and will never happen. We don't know what's going to happen in the future because this is a broken world. We don't know. We don't know. What is the framework that works? I was at an antique dealer's place a couple weeks ago with Debbie, and they had this painting. And it was a beautiful painting, but it was unframed. And they were trying to decide what frame to put it with. And when they finally put it, they tried a white frame that had some flecked paint on it. It didn't give it definition and all that. So finally, they gave it a dark frame. It was a mahogany frame for this very bright picture. It worked perfectly. And what it did was it drew all of your attention. You could see it clearly. You could see the picture. It gave it definition. It gave it a refinement. It was a beautiful thing. I want us to put a frame around this today to help us. Because like I said, this isn't the first time this has happened. And it definitely is not the last if you've ever read the book of Revelation. So, we have to take the long view. Let me talk to you about it for just a couple of moments. First of all, I want to begin by reading Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. You should underline this in your Bible. Here is the long view. Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The long view, one more time. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Okay, the long view is this. Number one, we have to have the eternal perspective. If we lose the eternal perspective and start living like everybody else in the world, we're in trouble. You see, the Bible says that we grieve, but not like the rest of people who have no hope. Of course there's grief. Of course we talk about it. Of course we weep. Of course we're broken. Of course we missed our loved ones. All of that. We weep at the atrocities, but we don't weep like people that have no hope. We know something about eternity. Eternity is a beautiful thing. It's going to be another life. This is not the end. This is just now. We've been promised an eternity. My brother Jerry, the rich one, he's about to retire. I'm going to have to call him the old rich one soon. He'll be retired. He's been with the Cisco Corporation for 40-some years. And he'll be leaving them. And he texted me last night while we were sitting by the fire. Jerry texted me and he said, well, they've hired my replacement. He's going to go, I think, in June. I said, how does that feel? He said, at first, not very good, but you know, more that I think of it now, it's like a whole new life. You know what's going to happen? He's not going to be driving to Novi every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning on 275. His whole life is going to change. All of a sudden, it's going to get easier. All of a sudden, he's going to have some choices. He's going to I mean, he's going to be able to do some things he's always wanted to do. I mean, his whole life is, he's getting the long view of what this is going to be, and he's going to be dancing out of there pretty soon. He has the long view about his own profession. We need the long view about our whole lives, and that is beyond this life is the next. You remember, we have quoted these portions of the Bible 1,000 times in this place, more than that, over all these years. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you." Remember that? "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me." And then they asked him, "Lord, how do we get there?" Because Jesus said, "You know the way." And they said, "Lord, we don't know the way. How can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus was always talking about the afterlife. Well, a lot about this life too, but so much information he gave us about the rest. He talked about living in such a way so as to be welcomed into eternal dwellings. There's a life beyond this one. And we've got to have the long view. I mean, of course, it was the great John writing the book of Revelation. And I've quoted this a zillion times at every funeral I've ever done. He saw heaven and the old man said, "And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." That's an eternal perspective. I told you before, my great-grandpa, I was going through some pictures, going through the last few things of my mom's papers and shredding some and having to save a couple things, but most stuff went. I was going through all that stuff, and I came across a picture, and the picture is of my great-grandfather. From Missouri, and he is talking with my dad and my Uncle Bill, and he has his little hat on and his linen suit. It was July, but you have to wear a suit all the time, and his tie, and had his little cane. Taught the Bible for almost 80 years. And they went to see Grandpa. I've told you before, they went to see him for his 99th birthday, and this was taken at that time. And when they were leaving, my dad said, "Well, Grandpa, we'll be here to see you next year for the big one, for the big party." And he said, "Oh, Lloyd." And here's the great statement from a patriarch of our family. "I've been promised a better home. I think I'll be going there." And he was gone in a month. He was ready to roll. We've got to have a long perspective. This isn't all there is, you guys. That's how the heathen live. That's how the ungodly live, you guys. They don't know. So they grab all the gusto they can because they think this is it. You only go around once. We say we only go around once, and then after this, the judgment, so we better get right with God is what we say, right? So, I mean, this is extremely important, but it's not all there is. Listen to me. Have the eternal view, the eternal perspective. In that long view. Second one is this. Not only do you have to have an eternal perspective, you got to get this in your craw, if you want to say that. You got to get this down deep. And I want to tell you this. It's very important. It's very important. Are you going to hear me? Here it is. They can't kill us. Those people that died last week, they're not dead. Give me a quote from Jesus. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me will never die." Now, the Bible talks about our bodies dying, but it doesn't talk about you dying. "He who lives and believes in me will never die." Like, for instance, Moses died, right? Deuteronomy 34 says that Moses died and was buried, right? God buried him, in fact. But then we get to Luke chapter 9, and you know what happens? Jesus is up on a mountain with a couple of his disciples, and all of a sudden he starts glowing, and all of a sudden Elijah and Moses are standing there talking to him. Wait a minute, I thought Mo was dead. He's not dead. He's still alive. Do you see that? Abraham. It says in the book of Genesis, chapter 9, that Abraham died. Genesis chapter 25, excuse me, that he died. But Jesus says about Abraham in John chapter 8, Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day, and he saw it and was glad. And they said, wait a minute, you're not even 50 years old yet, and you say you know Abraham? And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up stones to kill him. And he said, why do you want to kill me? And they said, for blasphemy, you're making yourself God. That's exactly right. That's exactly what he's saying. But do you see that? Jesus said Abraham was still alive and not only thought about Messiah coming, but saw the day when Jesus came from the portals of heaven, from the picture window of glory. He saw it all happen. It had to be something. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the conversations that have to go on there? My goodness, it's got to be something else. The Bible talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It is where the Apostle Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn over there, beginning at like verse 51. Oh yeah, listen to this. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. When they talk about bodies dying, they say they sleep. Do you see that? That means they're going to get up again. Okay? We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we, that means those who are still alive, will be changed. Do you see that? Keep going back toward the back of your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Well, those in heaven are coming back. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive and are left till the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. They can't kill us. We live, and even our bodies are going to live again someday. I mean, that is amazing to me. You know, we've lived in our house. It's 31 years ago this month. Old Don Eiler and I were starting to brick the base of our house, the basement that Gary Scott dug for us all those years ago, Gary. It's the first time I ever met you when you're on that backhoe of yours. It's become a home to us. Furniture's kind of worn out. Decorating's been there a long time, but we like the way it looks. And we just feels like home. You want to know why it feels like home? Because of our stuff that's there? Because of that pile of guitars that are there? No. But the people that have been there, the dear ones that have graced those halls, whose voices have bounced off those walls, the memories that we have in that place. Oh man, it's home. You want to know what makes heaven precious? It's not streets of gold. It's not gates and walls of jewels, precious stones. It's the dear ones who are there. They can't kill us. We go on forever. What happened last week was an awful tragedy. But we have the eternal perspective, and we know that they cannot kill us. Johnny Erickson Tata tells them the cutest little story. For years, she helped run a retreat for handicapped kids. And you know, Johnny Erickson Tata broke her neck when she was probably 17 or 18, diving into a lake that was shallow and broke her neck, been paralyzed forever. Wonderful lady, written a lot of good books, got a good daily radio broadcast. But she says at the end of this, they had a wonderful time at this awesome retreat. And at the end of it all, they wanted to ask some of the participants what meant the most to them, what they're going to take away from all of this, this wonderful experience they've had at this retreat this week. So they gave the microphone to little Jeffrey, little freckle-faced, little red-haired boy who had Down syndrome. They gave him the microphone, and he held it up and said, "Let's go home!" That's what he said. He loves his daddy, and he missed his daddy. And yeah, he had a great time, but we're done with this. Let's go home. Don't you feel like that sometimes? And it's right to do that. By the way, do you want to know why you have that longing in your heart to depart and be with Jesus? Because you're going to be with Jesus. Do you understand that longing in your heart isn't wishful thinking? It's put there by the Holy Spirit of God who's giving you that longing because he's going to fulfill it. David Wilcox wrote a song, "That's What the Lonely Is For." So we'll find out what we're longing for. It's going to happen, you guys. Eternal perspective, number one. Number two, we got to know they can't kill us. And thirdly, get this. This is just the beginning. This isn't an end of anything. If you're older and you're thinking in, along those lines, I'm telling you, we got forever to go. This is just the beginning. Let me read you Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Listen to this. "Give thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." Do you see what you have coming? You have an inheritance coming. You ever receive an inheritance? Have you ever? Cracked me up. A friend of mine got an inheritance the other day for $47. Her and her sister, the only two who are inheriting, they got like $47 from a loved one. Big money, you know. I remember I don't mean to tell you stories about my great grandpa so much, but when he died, I got it. It's the only inheritance I've ever gotten. He left enough money for my dad to buy me a black suit because I was just going to be ordained all those years ago. And so grandpa got me a suit. I can't get my right leg into that thing anymore, but I still got it hanging up. I got it because it's my only inheritance I ever got. Let me tell you, you got an inheritance coming. Do you know that? Oh, man. "He has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." You want to know why you have an inheritance in heaven? Because Jesus paid for it. That's why. And you haven't earned it. But it's going to be God's great joy to give you the greatest inheritance that you could ever imagine there in heaven. It's a sure thing, by the way. In Ephesians chapter 1, you know what it says about you? It says something about you in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. Listen to this. "Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." God himself moved into you, okay, when you trusted Christ. "Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." The Holy Spirit moved inside of you, and he's a deposit guaranteeing something. That you're going to get what's coming to you because of the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So that means you're going to get there. Well, what about this great inheritance we're promised? Well, there's something spoken of that too. I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen to this. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." You can't miss, because you are being kept by the Holy Spirit right now. And we're talked about being kept. Same word as being here. And that inheritance in heaven is also being kept for you in heaven. Why is it being guarded? Why are we being guarded and that great inheritance being guarded by God himself? Because one day he's going to bring all of us together with the inheritance that he promised us in his kingdom. It's going to be incredible. You can't miss it. We're going to be kept. You've been marked. That means you're going to get home. gets pretty dark sometimes, doesn't it? You discourage yourself pretty much quite a bit, don't you? I'm here to tell you something. If you put your trust in Jesus, that he died for you and was resurrected from the dead, and you invited him to be your Savior and you meant it, telling him you're sorry for your past and what you've done, you're his forever. You're marked with the Holy Spirit. I heard of a girl back in 1994. She had just gotten this beautiful engagement ring, this big rock. And they were at a family activity at the beach, and it was so exciting. Her fiancé gave her ring, and he probably hocked everything to buy the ring, big rock. Oh, they're all excited. And so they were playing in the ocean, and the ring was gone. About a year later, she got a phone call from a fisherman. He had hauled in a bunch of mussels, and within one of the mussels was her ring. And it had her full name engraved on the inside of that ring. And he looked her up, found her in their town, and said, "Did you ever lose anything at the ocean?" She said, "My ring." He says, "Got your name on it. I pulled it out of the ocean yesterday. Where are you at? I'll bring it to you." She got her ring back. You have been marked by Jesus. The Holy Spirit himself moved into you. That means you're going to get all the way to that inheritance. And that inheritance is being kept for you. And it can't be messed up there either. It's being kept, guarded up there. They can't mess it up. Debbie and I went out to Cumberland, Maryland, which sounds, it's in the east. Now, that's right in the middle of the hills. That is hillbilly heaven. Our friends Tody and Winnie lived there. And Tody died last year, and Debbie and I went to the funeral. I sang at the funeral, and it was precious and all that. And we got back to this little old Methodist church where they go, you know, and all the little people are, you know, they got food, and they got like the dessert table. You know what I mean? You're Christians, we know how to eat, don't we? Whew, man. Anyhow. So I grabbed three desserts and put them on our table, and we were waiting. I wanted to see which one I liked the best. And I'd driven a long way, and I deserved it. But anyhow, we're there and we're waiting. You know, the family stayed at the cemetery after the committal, waiting for, of course, his casket to be put in its grave. And we waited and we waited. It was probably an hour. And Winnie shows up, and instead of being grieving, she is spitting mad. I said, "Winnie, what's wrong?" She said, "They put Tody in the wrong grave." And she had to rip him and tell him, "Get him out. You can dig this. I'm not leaving until you dig this." And they put it. I think that's hilarious. Tody would have loved put me in the wrong grave. He'd love that. He'd love that. Do you know what you have coming to you in heaven because of what Jesus did is guaranteed? Well, I read an article of a guy who checked his account for the balance, see if he had enough to cover the checks he was about to write. Seeing if he had a couple of $1,000 in there. He had $924,844,020.32 in his account. He called his wife and said, "Something's wrong." She said, "Okay, it doesn't matter. Withdraw it, and I'll see you at the airport." Come to find out. It was a computer glitch, of course. I want you to know your inheritance isn't a fake. Your inheritance is not a computer glitch. It is the guarantee of the God who loves you. We got to have the long view, an eternal perspective. Know that they can't kill us, and know that this is just the beginning. Roger Campbell wrote this years ago, and I've had this in the drawer of my desk upstairs. And as Pauline is laying at Old St. Joe's Hospital today, soon to see him, I thought of this. He wrote, "What matters how I leave this shore when Christ awaits there to take my hand? Death gives wings on which I soar to meet him there in glory land. Though I should travel all the earth to cross its seas and climb its heights, the home I gained at second birth surpasses all these earthly sights. I'll meet the saints of ages past whose fame on Bible page appears. We'll sit and talk while ages last and sing God's praise 10,000 years. 'Tis no sad day when Christ I meet. Each day I live, I wait, and long to place my feet on heaven's street and hear the angel choir's song. Let's stand together to pray. Come on, let's pray. Lord, we're yours. Lord, would you forgive us for our short-sightedness, for thinking that this is all there is? Help us. We ask that you will revive us as a people, that you will again ignite our spirits with the reality of eternity, and that you will help us as we look to the tragedies of our world and cling to you and cling to your promises. Lord, I remember the promise that you gave to Jacob all those years ago. You promised that you would be with him and that you would protect him and that you would not leave him until you had fulfilled everything you promised him. That is an incredible thing for you to say, and it's exactly who you are. You will fulfill all of your promises. We cling to that today. Bless our brothers and sisters. They're meeting now in Texas. Father, when they gather in that place today, may your people sing to your glory. May you fill that place with your spirit. Help us, Lord, and help our brothers and sisters. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.